Man, Auburn had some fantastic publicity this past weekend.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn had some incredible publicity over the weekend. An old clip started resurfacing, and some big names picked it up. And then one of Auburn's basketball stars is in fantastic company in Jackson Coivin. What a dog. May have gotten me back into the PGA Tour. We're going to talk about that as well. But let's jump right in. This past weekend, it's so funny how these things happen. Like, how do old clips just, like, pop up? I know people content farm and clip farm and try to get their accounts to have more attention, and it just randomly old videos will resurface. I see it all the time. Like, I'll see clips from Auburn games in the past or whatever just, like, randomly resurface with no real reason as to why. But this clip right here, I'm going to post it really quick. I'm going to play it really quick. It's of DVD this spring in a DB drill. But this clip right here started to go viral over the weekend.
Yes, it's dead. It's dead. It's dead. Oh, oh, oh. Yes. Oh. Hey, yo, hey. Yes, 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 he too little, scraps.
The last one gets me, but in a random account, Ball is Life or something like that, started, like, tweeted that out, and then NFL legend Chad Ochocinco picked it up. These reps are perfect DB teach tape, which that's DB teach tape. I feel like he could have done better as far as the descriptor. But that's pretty high praise. I think there is a connection between Chad Johnson and DeMarcus Van Dyke. I tried to look to see if they potentially could have played together. I don't think they did, but they're both from Miami. And it could be just like anything where you're scrolling through and then something pops up and you see a connection and you're like, okay, it doesn't even matter if it's relevant, if it's new, if it's old, whatever. I'm going to show that guy some love. I remember him from back from hometown. Now, there's a little bit of an age gap, but still, I mean, I would assume the football community all from that Miami area probably know each other and support each other. So that was really cool. And kind of going back to that clip and the type of coach that DeMarcus Van Dyke is, I don't think there could be a better fit for what DJ Durkin demands from his defensive backs. I know everybody, we're all sort of in a wait-and-see mode or cautiously optimistic because of, you know, losing Jay Crawford, losing Kay and Lee, that were – By all accounts, really good. Not even all accounts. We saw it with our own eyes. Really good, a 1-2 punch in the SEC. You lose both of those. Replacing that's going to be tough. Then replacing the veteran coach that developed them, that's going to be even tougher. This is good to see. This is good to see that it's getting love from people that should know what it means to be a good defensive back. Then you throw in the talk around, we kind of mentioned this last night, you know, Zach obviously is a big DB guy, and the storyline around spring has been Gavin Jenkins. I mean, every time you see the number ones go out there, he's with them, he's young, they brought him over from South Florida, he was their guy that they recruited, that they evaluated, that they developed. So I believe Zach was the one that asked Golish about it, and he said, hey, I think he's a future NFL corner. You couple all that together and gives you the warm fuzzies about what this defensive backfield could be under DVD. So really, really good stuff there. Now, there's a flip side to everything. And it wasn't just Dez Bryant that noticed this or that said something like this, but even Auburn fans, anytime something good happens, it means that something else sucks. Like it's a zero-sum game. One, if one is good, that means the other has to be bad. So if the DBs have a really good three-play clips and we're talking about the DBs being good, that must mean the only answer is that the wide receivers suck. So this is what Dez Bryant said. Wild analogy, by the way. He says, you have to have the right dope to sell to the buyer if you're following me. If you're following me, let me just make sure you're tracking. He sold that boy some chopped up Dial soap, meaning the moves he was given would only look good running routes on air. The DB never looked uncomfortable at any point. Crappy rep by the wide receiver. Two things can be true at once, says Daryl Daprich. First of all, like, who is that analogy for? Who is that analogy for? Like, in reality, there's a million analogies you could have gone through. Like, there are so many. And I tried to think of some before I got on. But, my gracious. I love, though, that as he's giving the analogy, he's making sure that you're tracking. Okay, you with me? You with me? Now we're going to go with the Dial soap thing. You got me? No, bro, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's funny stuff. But yeah, Auburn fans are the same way. You can't be happy with one thing that's good because it means something else sucks. And guess what, guys? There was way more than three plays in spring. There's way more. There's some where the wide receivers won some battles. I think there's probably a highlight film or a highlight reel of a three or four play clip for every position on the football team during spring. It's crazy. I know what it is, though. It's trauma, and I get it. Trauma, we're still living through the trauma of the past, and it's going to take a while to get over it. It's going to take a minute. Good stuff there. That was really cool. That tweet just blew up, man. But I think Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, whatever you want to call him, knows a thing or two about what it takes to cover elite wide receivers. So very, very high praise there. Got some more high praise. Just can't stop praising. Praise hands in the air for Auburn this past weekend. We're going to jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to the PTAC, Precision Tune Auto Care, in Opelika, where two parkways collide at the corner of Veterans and Pepperell Parkway. It's open now at 7 a.m. If you drop your car off between 7 and 9, you can get a $50 oil change on top of their Beat the Heat special, which is basically a full AC checkup. Hey, it might not be feeling as cool as it normally does. Get it checked, bro. Don't let it get out of hand. You can get a free performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and then they'll take $50 off any repairs you need over $300. Can't beat it. Show them some love. Check out the bidet. It's Barncast. Not Barncast. Jeez. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. For Auburn business owners, it's only $1. It's less than $1 a day, actually. You get a business listing with your phone number, all your information, a quick blurb about you. And then we can record a business spotlight podcast and then attach it to your page. So it's really, really cool stuff, man. So people can get to know the person behind the company. And if you're an Auburn fan, do business with Auburn people and start at buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. Other big praise or this isn't even really praise. It's just kind of cool. Awesome company to be in. Auburn center slash whatever you want to call him. He's going to be a do-it-all guy. Buki Aboye spent some time with Victor Wembanyama, Wemby, and in the lab also with the Dream, Hakeem Olajuwon. Spent some time with him. There's a video clip. It's really hard to understand exactly what's all being said. A lot about, hey, you got to be the dude for your team, and this is Wemby talking to him, and you got to make sure not only you're upholding the standard, but everybody around you is upholding your standard. You got Malik Olajuwon in there as well, who is obviously Hakeem's son, who Auburn just recently offered not very long ago. 6'4 guard. I think he's like a two-time state champion too. I'm not 1,000% sure what the connection there is, but that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I would say it's cool too, because I don't want to – I'm not saying that Buki's going to be a Wemby-type player, but he's not going to be just a Hakeem Olajuwon-type player either. He's not just going to be a – when you think about seven-footer, you think probably slower. You think not a ball handler. You think just get it down low and crash the boards and block shots. And I think he can do all that. I think he's got the little, you know, jump hook. I think he can be a menace in the paint. I think he can affect a lot of shots. But I'm not going to be shocked if, you know, he starts a fast break and runs the court and he goes coast to coast. He can really handle the ball. I've seen it with my own eyes. I mean, he played point guard in high school, so he's got the ball handling skills there before he shot up to a, you know, over seven-footer. He's not just going to be a guy that sits under the basket and waits for you to shoot or kick it inside to him. He can create. He can step out. He can shoot threes. He can do a little bit of everything. And it's not a token three. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to give you 1 3 a game. It's going to be a legitimate three-point threat that they're going to have to respect. Can you imagine the stress and the space it could create? Because you can't just send out a little point guard out there to guard him if he's beyond the three-point line. You got to send some length. You got to pull some length out from under the basket. And, boy, that's just green light city. When you got some of the guards that can slash and drive to the basket, there's so many things that I think his game brings that gives you so many options on offense. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. Really, really cool stuff there for Auburn Hoops. Buki Aboye, definitely. I mean, there's not that many guys to remember. I mean, I know it's a bunch of new guys, but basketball, you only have, what, like 12 dudes to remember. So if I say remember Buki Aboye, it's not going to be that tough. Plus, he's one of the seven-footers. You got a couple of those. He'll be fun to watch. Last but not least, we talked about it last night, but Jackson Koivun, man. I want to kind of look at this from a different angle and talk about – you know, I know a lot of people are probably like me where you watch golf. If you're a golf guy, like, golf has just been through a lot. You know, you had COVID, you had the whole splitting where some stars went and joined this other tour, the LIV Tour. You've had YouTube golf kind of explode, and you just – the PGA Tour – just is sort of just the PGA Tour. It's been the same thing forever. There's new stuff to check out. And maybe you get frustrated with golf and you get frustrated with the coverage and you don't like to watch it. I'll tell you what, man. It felt good again to lock in and follow a guy that's got a chance to win that you like and watch him play and finish out a weekend. It was fun. It was like bringing back old memories. Really cool for Jackson to be able to do this and do this so fast. I asked Brad last night. They mentioned that he was 21 years old at least 100 times over the weekend. And I asked Brad, what was heard more or what was said more, that he's 21 or that Ryan Williams was 17 the year, his freshman year, because it was a bunch. But, yeah, he was 21 years old. It's only his third professional start, and he comes out with a win. And on top of the win, he knocks off the number one player in the world, who, by the way, was making a charge. And he actually mentioned that. Like, a lot of the fans, as he's walking, they're like, Scotty's coming. You better keep it up. Scotty's coming. And there was a point in the match. Not match. I mean, it kind of was a match, but there was a point in the tournament in that last round. It was like right in the middle of the round. Scotty was a few holes ahead of Jackson, and Scotty had reeled off like three or four birdies in a row. Boom, 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 boom. And Jackson was in a really tough spot, and he had to get up and down to make par to keep the lead at three shots. Because if it gets down to two, Scotty's can shoot, you know, he can birdie any hole at any point in time. Two shots is not that close. And also, I'm sorry, is not that far. And there's a scoreboard also right by the hole that Jackson was on. So he's very aware of what Scotty's doing. He's very aware of his situation. And he's very aware of the pressure that's on this particular putt. And I think this particular putt won him the tournament. He jars a 14-foot putt, 14-and-a-half-foot putt, under the gun to save par, and then it was over, basically. I think he took a big sigh of relief, and it was over. He just cruised from there on and even made a really long par putt on 18 that he didn't even have to make to kind of put the exclamation point on him. Broke the tournament record, tournament 72-hole scoring record, 25-under. So that's really cool. He punched his ticket to Augusta for next year. That's really cool. He is now on the cut line, like right on the line as far as making the playoffs. And he's got two events left to, I guess, bolster himself even further up the rankings. That's going to be really cool if he's, you know, in the playoffs and has a potential chance to play for the Tour Championship. This may save PGA Tour golf for me, because, like, I just don't watch it. I just don't watch it anymore. I don't know why. It doesn't interest me anymore with all the other options that are out there. But Jackson makes it fun to watch. Cool to hear people yell War Eagle up in, I believe this was in Wisconsin, maybe, somewhere like that. Where was the 3M Open? 3M Open location. Yeah, Minnesota, sorry. Twin City, Blaine, Minnesota. So you got that way up there. You have him up there. I think they're going over to I've totally blanked. It's up there somewhere is where the next tournament's going to be. So he'll play there. He'll play in one other tournament in Greensboro, North Carolina or South Carolina. My geography is just in shambles this morning. And then the playoffs start. So really, really cool stuff. Let me know what your favorite moment of the tournament was for him. Favorite shot. I know on Saturday he had a 305-yard three wood to about 12 feet and made eagle on number 12. That was really awesome. He hit so many fantastic shots. It's cool to see the War Eagles way up there. It's cool to see when he's walking his little scoring book that sticks up out of the back of his pocket when they show him walking and it says WDE on it. That's really cool. Really good advertisement for Auburn Golf in general. I think he even talked about how Auburn Golf prepared him for this moment. And then really cool to see him just go fishing in one of the pond lakes right there by on the golf course afterwards. He's like, I'm just going to go wet a line real quick. 21 years old, man. He's got all kinds of time to do some really, really fun things. Y'all let me know what you think about that. Guys, thank y'all for listening, and we will talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
for listening, and drive home safely.